RadioInfluence.com.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Monday edition of the Dark to Light podcast with
Thanksgiving After Day, Val, and
Beans. It is a cloudy, rainy, windy day here.
Same here.
South Carolina, is it?
Yep. We're going to get rain all day.
Well, I was just meandering at my old home, and I noticed that the tarp covering the massive missing roof has blown off the house. So
now everything's going to get wet.
Well, I mean, that doesn't really matter. But it's still, you know, you don't want like a mold infested thing sitting there while they figure out what the hell they're going to do with themselves. So this show's starting a little late today.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, we all had some things to do this morning. And
yeah. How was your Thanksgiving?
It was good. All things considered, it was good. I saw enough people to be satisfied, but it was, you know, I don't know, Tracy.
Wait,
I don't know.
I don't know what you mean when you say you don't know.
It's just not right.
Yeah.
Nothing is right.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's
I know.
It's just not right. That's all I can say. It's just not right. I can't talk to anybody. Everybody takes what we're living through with a varying degree of seriousness. We're definitely been flung into a second round of hysteria. You know what I saw last night on Twitter? It was under the Twitter's trending topic. So it was only fellow travelers. Okay. When you go into those topics, the main tweets that you get exposed to, it's all blue check mark fellow travelers. They are towing the company and the party line and all that stuff. I saw people sharing almost looks like an electoral map of the United States. The entire country, they say, is red now. The entire country is a COVID hotspot, they say now.
Well, the entire country is red, but I don't know if it's from COVID. It's probably...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Is this the pre-Smartmatic electoral map here? Or are we talking about these 9/11 color-coding COVID maps now? Oh, God.
Well, then Dr. Fauci apparently is out and about talking about how now kids are supposed to, you know, we need to get them back in school.
No.
I want to see this map you're talking about.
Hold on. I'll try to find it for you.
The other like sort of underneath election fraud thing that's going on Twitter is Neera Tanden, who is apparently Joe Biden's fake, some kind of fake appointee for Joe Biden. And people are going through her old tweets, which she's now deleted about 1,100 of, and finding all of them where she like badmouthed the senators that are going to need to vote for her confirmation, who I would assume 50% of, if not more, will vote for her anyway, because that's the kind of spineless trash we have in the Senate.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, did I say that out loud? I'm sorry.
No, they're going to go back to, like I said, the Republicans, if they actually do get Donald Trump out of the way, Republicans will very cozily go back to being the gimp from Pulp Fiction.
Yep.
And I'll tell you something. Anybody out there who has been swept up by what Donald Trump has represented over the last 4 years, especially his representation of the destruction and the rightful destruction of the Republican Party, start getting bold with our numbers. Start getting bold with your campaigning. Start getting bold with social media and run under different parties or unaffiliated. Just start running unaffiliated from now on.
That's the talk that's out there now is basically that, you know, because I'm looking at these senators from Georgia that are running in this supposed runoff. And we're going to talk about Georgia and what went on there yesterday with some Lynn Wood and Sidney Powell stuff in a minute. But like, I'm looking at these guys, this woman, who is it? Kelly Loeffler? Is that her name?
I don't know.
What's her name? The senator that's running in Georgia in this runoff election.
I haven't checked, actually.
Yeah, this is her. This is her. She's on Fox all the time, and like she's on Newsmax all the time, and like, you know, wherever we're flipping the channels here where I'm staying, I see it, and I'm like, she's the most boring, canned candidate. Like, I don't even know. It's just people don't want this anymore.
Yep. No, they don't. They don't, and they're trying so hard to say that you do.
I know. There are like 80 plus million of us out there. Like, it's time for, you know, I think even when President Trump wins again, it's time for a new party, Frank. It's time for something new here. The Republican Party has they're collecting all this money. What are they doing? What are they doing with all this money they've collected from people saying they're going to fight the steal? They're not doing crap.
I don't know. I'm going to send you one thing.
All right.
This is not the map I had seen before, so I don't know, Tracy. But go to your DMs.
And what?
Take a look
Twitter?
At it. Twitter. This is the kind of stuff. This is the kind of stuff I've been seeing. It's just comical.
There's
the entire
traveling.
The entire,
can I read it?
Go ahead. Here you go.
Traveling this weekend by plane. This map indicates the chance a collection of 500 people contains at least one person with active and infective COVID-19. Dark red is 99 plus. Many images this morning of packed terminals. Frightening. Frightening.
Very frightening. You know, I had a friend of mine. I haven't seen her in a long time. Then again, I don't see anybody anymore. And that's the other thing there, too. If you really think about it, Rutherford B. Hayes could be president right now, and I wouldn't know. I mean, if you go to a political rally, or you inject yourself into a situation where you know it's going to be a little bit more politically charged, I think that that's where you're going to see, okay, yeah, there's a lot of tension going on in the country right now. But I don't see anybody. There's no social life left anywhere.
You're in New York.
There's nothing.
That's why.
Well, I mean.
It's not like that here.
Well, you guys have a little bit more of a healthier culture down there.
Yeah. But
you
this
know.
Guy cut off the key in this picture, Frank. I don't even know what these colors mean. They could mean like people who voted for President Trump. Red.
Okay. Well, here's another one for you. Yeah, because there's different variations. This is just the kind of imagery that is being put on out there. And that's why I keep harkening back to 9/11 terrorism color coding. I just sent you another one through DM.
This looks like a 2020 election map. It's not. It's per capita COVID cases. And it's a big map with red and orange and yellow and light yellows on it.
Yeah, it looks like the entire country's on fire.
Yeah,
and that's the psychological aspect of it. It wouldn't play as well if you say blue means we have a problem.
No, it wouldn't, would it?
No, it wouldn't. So that's just this is the kind of thing, and they're ramping it up, and now Joe Biden has a broken leg.
Yeah, well, that's so funny to me to kind of watch the social media flow on it. Did you see everybody now is like, does he have a boot? Does he have an ankle monitor?
I've seen everybody saying it. Does he have a boot? Is he being tracked? I'm like, this guy, as of right now, he's still playing the role of president-elect.
Yeah.
Where the hell would he be running? Oh, the president-elect ran away? That doesn't look suspicious.
This is, it's pretty ridiculous.
They put a boot on him. The day after three states that flipped the results, the projected results around fall, then I say, okay.
Well, what do you think about this? So Matt Brainerd is one of those data scientists that was doing all that analysis and stuff about, you know, he crowdfunded it. So he raised like almost $600,000 from the crowd. And then he did all this analysis of abnormalities in the vote. And now he's testifying today at the hearing in Arizona, which is at 10 o'clock, I believe, Arizona time, which would be 1 o'clock our time. And he said yesterday on Twitter that the FBI that from California came and asked him for his data. And I'm like, I trust the FBI with nothing. Why would he, you know what I mean? Like, why would they want it? Like, what are they going to do? Are they trying to give it to the other side so they can get out in front? Like, that's where just to let you know how the faith an institution is. He says the FBI has proactively and directly requested the VIP findings that indicate illegal ballots. Mm-hmm. By Tuesday, we will have delivered to the agency all of our data, including names, addresses, phone numbers, etc. While there has been legit criticism of the actions of leaders of the agency over the past several years, I can personally attest to the many patriots within the rank and file who are fighting on the side of the Constitution and law and order. Note, everything I pass on to local, state, and federal law enforcement, litigants, legislatures, journalists, etc., is always a copy. And despite sharing it with individuals from all of those groups, there's never guarantee of a productive result. Meaning they can't duplicate what he's done. So what's the point?
But what is the point? I'm sure that the normal rank and file in New York really wanted to do something about the Anthony Weiner laptop, but
yeah,
here we are four years later plus.
Not only that, but what does he mean? There's never a guarantee of a productive result. That kind of bothers me a little bit.
Yeah.
What happens if something happens to Matt Brainerd, for goodness sakes, knock on wood?
The whole thing bothers me, Tracy. I'm not, there's been some squeakers in the past. There's been some squeakers. I mean, in no way, shape, or form was I ever worried that, what is the Russia investigation going to turn up on Trump? I mean, it was so easy. Like, is everybody really interested in what the hell's going on here? This is obviously a sham. But, you were afforded 4 years and you had appropriate majorities in either one or both houses at the time. So you didn't have really any worry about removal. Then impeachment, you didn't have really any worry of removal, even though you know that it once again, a completely ridiculous sham, a sham that the FBI was sitting on exculpatory evidence supreme. And now here we are, and it's just backs up against the wall, and everybody wants this Trump thing to just go away, and they're trying to will this corpse into the White House, and it is almost December 1st, and I know that there are great, talented people who have all the goods, but this is the squeaker. Out of all the things that have been thrown at us, this is the squeaker right
here. Yeah. Apparently, too, one of the witnesses in the Pennsylvania hearing got a visit from the attorney general, she said, on War Room. The attorney general's office came to her house to talk with her, and she didn't know if they were genuinely interested in what had gone on or if they were trying to just basically criminally investigate her. That's all she said, and I can't find the clip right now for some reason. But now we're having that. I mean, why didn't they find her first? Why are they waiting until, you know what I mean? It's people are like, where's Bill Barr now? I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Who knows?
I can't even tell you.
It's apparent it's not going to be up to the Bill Barrs of the world to fix this mess. So yesterday in Georgia, there was something interesting that happened. Did you catch this?
The back and forth?
Yes.
Yeah, explain the whole thing to me, please.
It's very complicated. So they asked for the machines in the state to be frozen so that the forensic analysis could be done on them. Because apparently sometime early in the day, they got word that they were trying to wipe or remove some of those machines and just like put new software on them. They were trying to basically get rid of what had happened in November on the 3rd and get rid of them and put new software on them and stuff like that.
Right. I know that much.
So they went with an emergency request to pause that so they couldn't do any of that stuff. The judge granted it in Georgia. Then the defendants, which is the Secretary of State and all the other officials in Georgia, said, oh, by the way, we don't have custody of any of those and they're not under our direction. So we don't have the ability to tell them to stop any of this. Which I'll explain in a minute why I think is bull. So then the judge said, I'm rescinding that. You'll have to sue the custodians of those machines if you want that to happen. So then they went back again Sidney and Lynn and team and said, okay, we need these three counties, and enjoined three counties to the lawsuit. And then the judge reissued the order. So it's Cobb, DeKalb, and what's the other one I'm looking for it now? Oh, it's Cobb, Cobb, Gwinnett, and Cherokee counties. So now Code Monkey saw this, and he's got people out stalking the three Dominion offices.
I saw this. Yeah. I saw this. Yeah.
Making sure nobody comes or goes with anything that can be used to replace anything there. But when I saw that order, I started doing some research, Frank, and I looked into some legislation. I wanted to try and find something in the Georgia legislature that designates that the Secretary of State has authority over the local precincts and what they do with those machines. Because if you can demonstrate that, then you can say to the judge, well, in their own legislation, here it is. That was my thinking anyway. So I'm like, let me see what I can find here. And I did. I found their most recently passed voter legislation where it clearly says here, if there is... Hold on. Sorry. I'm so out of it today with this whole TARP thing. I had it.
No, that's all right. I think this is something I needed to understand, because I know I was following Lynn Wood, you know, what had happened when it went back and forth. And so I don't know. I don't know. Like I said, backs against the wall, Tracy. Very exciting time.
Oh, yeah. Real exciting. I wish it would just keep going our way, though. It's so nerve-wracking. The Secretary of State shall have the authority to promulgate rules and regulations to provide for the transmission of voter registration applications and signatures electronically. And then if the election superintendent discovers a mistake or omission has occurred in the printing of the ballots or the programming of the machines or the voting equipment or electronic ballot markers for any primary election, the supervisor is authorized to take steps to correct the mistake. However, the superintendent has to give 24 hours notice to the Secretary of State. So the Secretary of State is overseeing. And then there's a portion here, which I can't find right now, where basically, the Secretary of State stores and keeps that equipment. He is the custodian of it. And if there is any allegation of fraud, the Secretary of State is responsible for making sure that the equipment is analyzed. So whatever shenanigans they're trying to pull in Georgia court over there, likely if this judge is truthful and honest, likely won't hold up. And then there was the Pennsylvania nonsense that happened. Did you see any of that?
No. Oh, wait, this is with the state legislature?
No.
What nonsense then?
Sean,
didn't the state legislature vote to retake their yes. abilities to appoint electors away from governor?
Yes.
Okay.
They did. And today is like the last day, I think, because their new session starts or the new people come in. I'm not exactly clear on how that works. Something's going on in Pennsylvania today, which is important, and something I don't know. I got distracted with other things, but there's something else going on in Pennsylvania today. That's very helpful to everyone out there, isn't it?
Yes. Well, be on the lookout for something.
Something in Pennsylvania. Something. So I had an article go up from John Reeves. Do you follow him on Twitter?
No. Maybe I do. What's his handle?
John_Reeves, I believe.
Probably not then.
Why does it look like a version of my website that isn't from this weekend is up? What is happening?
What's happening to all of us right now?
I feel so scattered right now. Like, what is going on? I'm trying to find this article that he wrote and it's not showing up in the slider bar. It's just not okay. Yeah, it's not here.
Well, what was the basis of the article?
Got it. Here it is.
Okay.
Okay. So Sean Parnell brought a case in Pennsylvania about Rule 77, which was what Pennsylvania passed to try to alter their election law to be mail-in only instead of absentee with all those qualifications they need to hit. And the judge in the case issued a stay on certifying any of the votes in Pennsylvania. And then the Democrats came back and appealed that, saying that she had no power to do that. And the judge said, I absolutely have the power to do that. This lawsuit presents a very valid and important claim that appears to have a lot of merit. And we can't go ahead and certify. And she was angry because they certified the presidential election. She certified the presidential and the vice presidential elections in Pennsylvania and some others, but not others. So she basically selectively certified certain things, like just as base as an FU.
Mm-hmm.
And then the judge was really angry about that and wrote a scathing thing where the judge says basically like, these defendants have a very strong case. It appears that this rule is unconstitutional. It was never enacted in the right way. This is all about mail-in ballots now. All of the mail-in ballots, all of them. And she even talked about in there how it could affect the outcome of the Pennsylvania results. And then the Supreme Court, the defendants who had appealed the stay, appealed that to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, came out and just dismissed the entire case, not just what they appealed on. So basically, the Supreme Court stepped on and over the lower appellate court judge and dismissed Sean Parnell's entire case. And this was what they said. You waited too long to sue. You should have sued immediately when this was passed.
Waited too long to sue?
Yeah, like, in other words, in October, when this was passed, or whatever year, whatever day, and I'll read through it here. It's in here. The Pennsylvania Constitution allows absentee voting under five situations: work, illness, physical disability, the election occurring on a religious holiday, or a person's election day duties themselves preventing the person from voting in person. There was no other justification. Towards the end of 2019, a majority of both the houses in the Pennsylvania General Assembly passed the relevant mail-in voting legislation at issue. It expanded voting by mail beyond the above five situations under the Pennsylvania Constitution to include any situation. In other words, the law purported to allow voting by mail for any reason whatsoever. But while the General Assembly passed it, that wasn't sufficient enough to amend the Constitution in Pennsylvania and expand voting by mail. There was a next step that they had to do that they never did. So there was no constitutional amendment to change voting law in Pennsylvania. So Parnell sued saying this is unconstitutional because it's not you never passed an amendment on it. The Pennsylvania Secretary of State immediately appealed the preliminary injunction that was granted to the Supreme Court. And then the Supreme Court entered an order both dissolving the preliminary injunction and dismissing the entire lawsuit. The only reason it gave for doing so was that Parnell and the other voters had waited too long to bring their lawsuit and couldn't do so now with the Electoral College deadline being so close.
That makes that means that the deadline should have just have been earlier. It's like, well, that's like saying you can't.
You got stolen from, but it's too late now because, I mean,
it makes no sense.
Somebody robbed your home, but I'm sorry, you waited too long to, you know, like what?
And at the same time, admitting that, well, the deadline hasn't passed yet, but we're getting closer to the deadline.
Yeah.
So just don't even try.
Yeah. So, by the way, I have to say, this article was retweeted by Mark Levin, which blew me away. So he goes on now, John Reeves goes on and he says, if what happens next now? If any other lawsuit, if other lawsuit litigation is any predictor, Parnell and the other voters will now seek an expedited petition for a writ of certiorari, which is to the Supreme Court. They will most likely also apply to Justice Alito as Circuit Justice for the Third Court for an emergency injunction barring the PA Secretary of State from certifying the results of the election pending resolution of the cert petition. To obtain the court's review, Parnell and other voters must show that the PA Supreme Court decision somehow violates federal law. While the Pennsylvania Supreme Court decision is rooted in state law, a good argument can be made that it involves a federal question. He goes on to give us how he would do it. He's a brilliant appellate attorney. I mean, brilliant. In interpreting the legislative power within the context of selecting presidential electors, the Supreme Court of the United States has held what is forbidden or required to be done by a state is forbidden or required of the legislative power under the state constitutions as they exist. In other words, the legislative power to select presidential electors includes the limitations that state constitutions place on its legislatures. In this case, the Pennsylvania state constitution is limiting of absentee voting to the above five situations. And,
well, I mean, it sounds like we have great cases.
We do.
But the only thing is, how many of these crooks are you going to come across along the way? And I think the only saving grace is the idea that at the long end of this daisy chain of appeals that you go up the chain, eventually you're going to hit the Supreme Court, which should have someone like a Samuel Alito waiting.
Yes. And that's the thing, is that I really feel like what's going on here, Frank, is that everybody's passing the buck. Okay. They don't want to deal with this for so many reasons. They don't want to deal with the fallout should they rule in someone's favor and then things don't go their way otherwise. And then they take the ire of the evil freaking people who are after them. You understand what I mean?
Absolutely.
Then above them, the same thing happens. They get threatened or whatever behind the scenes happens to them. And they basically just pass the buck until it gets so high it can't be passed anymore. And the person at the top has to make a decision. And in our case, that's the Supreme Court. Now, the judge here in Georgia with the Sidney Powell and Lynn Wood stuff is saying, yeah, there's no reason why you shouldn't be able to, forensically examine these voting machines. If there's fraud, then you'll find it. And it seems like Georgia has other ideas. They don't want anybody near these machines, to the point where the Fulton County machine yesterday doing the recount broke and they had to have Dominion in to, quote, fix it.
They actually brought Dominion in to fix it.
Yeah.
Oh, just act as if.
And not only that, but I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy what's happening here. Anybody with, come on, the entire country knows this election was a complete farce and Joe Biden didn't win. Everybody knows it.
It's just a matter of whether or not you like the results. That's all it is. They do not care. They don't even mask their disdain for their supposed countrymen anymore. They don't mask their disdain. And they know that along with elections comes the power to punish people that they don't like.
And they're absolutely excited about that.
Oh, yeah. They are excited about the idea of being able to exact any kind of political revenge on people who thought that they were free. They want to be able to taunt people for the ways that their income is going to be taxed and used against their will, that they don't know what's best for them, best for anybody else. They know what's best for everybody else, but they obviously don't have the money. They need to pick our wallets. And that's just what it is here. They don't care. They know that something is fishy. It's just that the fishiness benefited them.
Ridiculous. The Arizona hearing is starting in 30 minutes. Yeah.
So what do you think? What's going to be? Who's out there conducting that?
It's the legislature from Arizona and Rudy's team on the fraud they found in Arizona, the same way that Pennsylvania did their hearing.
Will Rudy be out there?
I believe so. Okay. Molly McCann just tweeted, Brannon is reporting. I don't know who Brannon is. Do you?
No.
Brannon is reporting he doesn't think the Pennsylvania legislature will act. What? I still don't believe that this is where we're going to be at in a week or two, Frank. But what if all these spineless, gutless traitors, what if they all turn their backs and let this go on? What do we do? What do we do as a people?
I've been asking myself that same question. What do we do and where do we go? And I just have to imagine that it's just, I am me personally, I am just always thinking about how I can create a little bit of a bubble of normalcy within this bubble of abject chaos. And the thing here that is of extreme concern is that whereas in 2012, I remember covering the 2012 election at the studio, I was already red-pilled, as they say, in 2012. I had voted for Obama in 2008, and by 12, I wasn't voting for either party. I knew, you know, Mitt Romney was a puke. Barack Obama, I heard all the bloom had come off of that rose a long time ago. And but at the same time, I'm sitting there going, okay, well, all signs point toward a Barack Obama being reelected, and I was already just looking forward to what are the next 4 years? What can we do in the next 4 years? How can we wake more people up? What is 2016 going to bring? Blah blah blah. I feel like with this, and I know a lot of people have pointed it out, we don't even have we're not afforded the looking forward to 2024. Because
it won't be valid. Nothing will be valid ever again.
Never again. If you can take what just happened and erase it and turn a landslide victory for one person into a squeaker of a win for the other, and the entirety of the bureaucracy and the media that is pretty much part of the bureaucracy and an international body of royals and politicians and leaders of certain industry and everything else, they are all together to legitimize this blatant theft. And you have an army of a shrinking army of zombies who live among us that think that it's all legitimate. I mean, I will never vote again. I mean, that's one thing. I will never vote again because I it was only until 2016 that I was voting just for the hell of it. But I always had my suspicions that it was never really anything that was legitimate. But when Donald Trump won in 2016, I said, oh, no. Something was broken. Yeah. Some cycle was broken, and we actually got a legitimate, shocking result, because there has never been a reaction to a person being elected, whether they were an underdog or a favorite. There's never been a reaction like this ever, at least in my life. So something was broken, something unexpected happened, and they have been working nonstop to prevent it from happening again. If they pull this off, I will never vote again. And why would anybody think that your vote would ever be they washed away millions
I know
of votes. So that's one thing personally. I mean, as far as the show goes, as far as what we do goes, we're going to still talk about the world. We're still going to be engaging our fellow citizens here and just trying to make better sense of things so that we go out into this chaos with a little bit more of a sound mind than the lunatics that we're living amongst. But what can we do when we've done everything that we can do already? We came out in force. We backed bold politicians. We backed at least incremental change. I know it's not all the change that we needed to get back to where we were, but at least we're trying to incrementally bring it back into a direction that would maintain some kind of semblance of representative government. But then, my God, it's like beating back the tide with these demons.
It's again, I'm still confident because it's just. It's overwhelming. The evidence is overwhelming. I'm still confident. I'm not like I'm not at this place where we're talking about yet. But, you know, you got to ask the question. Let's see what the attorneys can do. They're badass. Sidney Powell is like the most badass woman on the entire planet. She's amazing.
I'm with you on that one. And like I said, like you said there, I mean, there's still so much to be done. It's November 30th, and there are several camps of people that are speaking on varying degrees of confidence about several different types of things.
Yeah, I mean, there's no reason to not be confident at this point, to be honest. Go ahead.
Because you know, there are, as far as traditional forms of election theft goes, I think that is the evidence that is most voluminous supply. There's just so much, That's just the regular old the intimidation at the polls of the poll watchers and this and that and the ballots that show up blank and not even folded, brand new.
Yeah. I mean,
the dead people voting, we know that's in the tens of thousands now at least. There's so much, and that's on top of, I mean, that's below a longstanding foundation that you know, upon which it seems people like Sidney Powell are looking toward an international story here of digital fraud. And all these things put together, how do you ignore it? But some people are trying.
Dominion, Zero Hedge came out with an article yesterday that called one of Sidney Powell's witnesses. Okay, so Frank and I, this is going to seem like a very weird jump for everybody out there, but Frank and I were talking away about the smartest man in the room on Sidney Powell's team. His name is Naveed Keshavarajania, an expert witness. And I noticed that my recording software had just frozen. So we went on and on and on, and none of it recorded. Welcome to Monday.
Welcome to Monday, ladies and gentlemen.
Wait, you sounded like the SpongeBob announcer.
I remember that guy.
What, 3 hours later?
3 hours later.
You do it so much better than me.
I haven't even heard him in a long time. That's just from memory.
That was like what YouTubers started putting into their videos, like to break things up and be funny. And then it got overused. Anyway, so we were talking about it and it's already past recording time here because we started late because of the TARP situation. You want to just talk about this guy for a second? He's got ridiculous qualifications and he says that the election was actually interfered with by foreign adversaries such as China and Iran in 2020. And I was saying, do you remember how important that was, Frank?
Yeah.
It was so important, you said.
Oh, it was so. Oh, yeah. I forgot. It's so important that they had to make up foreign interference just to be able to investigate it.
That was exactly what you said, and I loved it. And then I noticed that we weren't recording anymore.
Gosh. What the heck?
It's true. Foreign interference is very important when Democrats want to create it to effect a coup on a sitting president.
And they don't stop either.
Never. That's the thing. We're all sitting here like a lot of people are getting tired of fighting, right? They fought us for 5 years. They never stopped. Ever.
So when do they stop?
It's been 3 weeks, Frank, and people are like, oh, this is never going to work. Come on. It's been 3 weeks. You've got General Flynn doing an interview where he says, if you were to ask me on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being the least certain, 10 being the most certain of if Donald Trump was going to be president, I would say I'm a 10. He's positive of it.
That's what I'm saying. I'm just waiting. I'm waiting. It's all we can do. Just waiting along and seeing what's going to shake out because I'm happy that somebody else is confident. You know, the other thing there too is there's also these weird, there's a couple of camps that are forming about what's going on with now Louis Gohmer. This started with him talking about the server raid in Frankfurt, Germany. This started with him. So that's why I always kept my ears out for it. But now there are two camps that are forming saying that, yes, there was a server. There was a raid in Frankfurt, Germany. There was loss of life
let's talk about that real quick.
Okay.
Because I listened to this clip. It's McInerney, right?
Yeah.
To me, it sounds like he says that we lost 4 of our soldiers and then says, no, that was a CIA raid. That's not what happened?
I guess that's what it comes down to is that, you know, it's American intel. It's like this civil war is turning hot within the American intelligence services.
So, like, you think that they're going after one another now, bad guys versus Good guy?
I don't know what I think. I just know that there's two. We started off in one place, and we're starting to realize that between Seidel and Smartmatic and Dominion, that all of their servers and all of their offices and all their tabulation centers were supposedly spread out all over the world. This is still something that Sidney Powell is not shy about talking about. She brings up Spain and Canada and Germany and Venezuela mm-hmm. a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as how, whether or not physical servers were seized, I always wondered what the hell physical servers really actually meant when all data is collected all over the place. You would think that that would just be captured somewhere, but obviously I guess they want primary evidence, and that's where there's been like this diversion of the story. And there's some people are saying that the raid happened. Other people are saying that the raid did not happen, and it's just a distraction away from what we should be talking about, which is all these state level investigations or whatever.
The problem with that is nobody can prove either way. So like all these people declaratively saying it didn't happen don't know that it didn't happen. They don't know for sure it didn't happen. And when you ask them to prove that it didn't happen, they can't. Same thing with the people who say it did happen, except that we have Louis Gohmert saying it happened.
Yeah. And that's why.
So.
And to be honest, you know, for General McInerney, is that how you say his name?
McInerney.
Whatever.
McInerney.
Well, McInerney is Kaylee's.
Oh yeah, I'm wrong.
Name.
I'm wrong.
So it's like McInerney or something like that. I forget. But I was listening to him on that WVW interview that's getting passed around, and of course that the statements he made came on the heels of General
McInerney.
Flynn's. Was that?
Is it McInerney? Sorry, it did come on the heel of General Flynn, who didn't want to talk about that hearing.
Right. So, I mean, so that's what I'm just saying. It also is interesting to me that Flynn would be on that call, be on that same show. I would think that if he wanted to avoid people who are peddling things that have no merit at all, he wouldn't be showing up and doing a show like that. Not necessarily that he even spoke to the subject matter, but.
He was directly asked about it and would not talk about it. Said that, no, I don't want to get into that now. I don't think personally, to be honest, Frank, I personally don't think that anybody was killed and there were a big firefight and all that. I just don't think that's true. Whether or not they went in there for the server, I mean, I don't know where Louis Gohmert would have gotten that information from and then went out on television talking about it. So there's that.
Another thing we're going to have to sit back and wait for. I guess we'll see.
It's McInerney.
McInerney?
McInerney. And David Riaboy is the one who's saying, like, Hammer and Scorecard aren't real, and the blind assertion to the contrary make this affidavit highly suspect. Because he talks about that guy, that cybersecurity guy we were just talking about a minute ago, talks about Hammer and Scorecard in his affidavit.
Right.
Oh, the complexity of it all. You know what I'm still waiting on before we end?
What?
One location where all of these lawsuits are listed so that I can keep up with them every day. Because there's the Parnell lawsuit, there's the Sidney Powell lawsuits, there's the Lynn Wood lawsuits, there's the President Trump campaign lawsuits, there's other lawsuits being brought by outside groups, conservative groups as well in Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Georgia, Michigan. I forget the guy's name who's doing all these lawsuits. They're very strong lawsuits. I can't find them anymore. The name of his foundation, I don't remember it. Shoot. But there's so many of them, and I don't even know. I would like to keep docket alerts on to watch them.
Yeah, and I'd like to follow along with what you're reading and hear what you think about it. you're the one like, oh, I can't wait to read and read. I can't wait to hear what Tracy says about the reading.
Thanks, Frank, for trusting
me. Yeah, no, I mean, it's good to find people you trust because
it's a jungle out there.
Yeah, it's a jungle out there. Everybody's got to do their own thing. Everybody's got to just do their own thing. And I don't know.
I'm just going to say before we close today, I have zero doubt in my mind at this point that the proper results of this election will be final. The proper
and
results.
I can't wait. And I can't wait. So people deserve to be completely have their minds shattered.
Yep. Yep.
They just deserve it. They need to have their minds shattered.
Can't wait to see them burn their own cities down again. That's what I'm looking forward to. Because all the boards came off the windows and everybody went home and, you know, there's no more burning and looting and rioting. And it'll just affirm once more for everybody out there who's the ones responsible for all the death, destruction, and horror. Because we haven't been doing it, have we? Have you been out in your local bodega lately burning it down and stealing things and looting televisions from Best Buy?
Just nope.
No? Oh, okay.
Nope, not once.
I'm surprised because I thought that that's how you react when, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway.
I know.
You have been listening to the Dark to Light podcast with...
Rainy Days After Thanksgiving Val and...
The Tarp Is Gone Beans.
Yeah.
You can hear us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 2:30 Eastern Time on TuneIn, Stitcher, Apple iTunes, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and RadioInfluence.com until Wednesday.
Later.